As much as cliche it may be, Steve Jobs once said, "People don't know what they want until you show it to them." And as a brand, what better way to show it to them? Through experiential marketing. Experiential marketing, live event marketing, or an event marketing experience. All of the same thing. It could be your brand hosting an event, your brand being part of an event, or just having a pop-up store on the street. As simple as distributing ice cream to the consumers so that they would want more. The entire idea of experiential marketing revolves around creating a memorable experience for your consumers that they could share online or offline. Today, I dwell into the idea of experiential marketing with my friend and colleague Pawan, who heads events and community at Pepper. He was also the host of season 1 of Pepper Spotlight, so we had very fun and intriguing chat on all things event, for B2B, for B2C and all kind of event. I hope you like it. Hi Pawan, what's up?
Hey Yog, thanks for
a very warm welcome to Pepper Spotlight season 2. People, if you don't know, Pawan used to host the season 1 and after that I've taken over the job. So I'm very happy to host you again to a topic that we both connect to very well, that is events or experiential marketing thing. And yeah, and people, if you don't know, like you might know Pawan from Pepper, seeing in some videos, podcasts and everything, but he has a better, like a much deeper relationship with events as a field of interest in past. So Pawan, if you want to share.
Yeah, I mean, I think also about the podcast entirely, thanks for having me. I could put that Akshay Kumar meme saying, yeah. And that has happened with me today. To talk about what I've been doing before Pepper also, like I've done more than 500 offline events and I think this is a very interesting topic to discuss about. People don't find this very analytical. They think that, oh no, it's just fun to do some events and things like that. But there's a lot of analysis, research and effort that goes into doing an event. So I'm glad that we're doing this topic to break down on certain ideas that and notions that people might have about events.
Yeah. Similarly, I also have done few events, not nearly to 500 at all, not even near to the 3-digit figure, but around, yeah, I could say around 50 plus events in some or other way from college time. And yeah, my first thing I would like to ask is like your favorite event you were part of that you hosted or you organized.
So I think the event that we hosted or organized was we were in Pune. This mall was getting launched. And they wanted us to, you know, bring in people and have those people experience the mall. So we kind of created like a whole, like a treasure hunt sort of thing, right from where they start at the entrance of the mall till like they roam the whole mall. Yeah. So I think that was a really fun event and experience to create for us. At different points, they also could, you know, enjoy some music or do some wine tasting and all of those things. So for us to build that whole experience was one of my favorite, let's say, events to execute. There are a lot of events here. I mean, virtually, I was part of some of the AirMeet events recently. There is Inbound by HubSpot. Like some other events, like on Bombay also, on every Sunday, I think at Nariman Point and Marine Drive, they do that Happy Street. And this used to happen in Pune also. So I was actively, you know, participating in that in Pune. And I feel that's like a great, you know, brand positioning also, because they do this on Sunday morning. And in Pune, I think Sakar Times used to sponsor that. So it was like a great thing. It's a media company. The newspaper goes out every morning and instead they're bringing people on the street. So I think these are some to name a few, but I'm sure there are really, really some great ones also out there.
In my head, what it comes is Elevate that we did last year, plugging in very subtly. One more thing here. What's that one thing that you enjoy the most while hosting or, you know, organizing an event?
I really enjoy seeing the smiles at people's face, you know, like when people like come in at that registration desk and they're like really excited to hear the speakers or just meet and network with other individuals. Or if you go to like a music festival like NH7 or Sunburn, the enjoyment that's there on their face, I think is something that I really like personally, that's what drives me to, you know, do these more and more events. And then I also get into that enjoyment vibe with them. So I think that's what I really like motivates me or enjoys most for doing an event.
Great. So I'll just share how the next, you know, set of questions will look like. We'll go through two segments. One is discuss event setup for B2C brands. And secondly, we'll discuss for the B2B brands. And then we'll have a quick rapid fire kind of thing where we just discuss how whoever is listening from the brand side or demand side people, how can they, you know, implement events as a part of their marketing strategy. So starting with kind of experiential marketing or events for B2C brands, is there any event that comes to your mind that you know of or you attended that had, you know, a good experience and you really connected with their brand much better after attending that?
That's a great question. And I think, again, a lot of such events, maybe even if you want to put in as NH7, but every time we talk about NH7, it comes to my head that Bacardi NH7, right? So that's like a great brand positioning. Even if you let's just take any these cricketing tournaments also, right? We're talking about experiential marketing here. So you say PTM, whatever name of the series that's out there. So I think how the entire brand play has now become when Byju's is now sponsoring the FIFA tournament. Oh my God, that's like a really, really big spends that brands are now doing on experiential marketing. And at the same time, I think like even if you see like an Axis Bank booth at an airport, right? I mean, there are various forms of how people and brands do these different experiential marketing. But one of the best, I think, which is yet to like come and see is, I mean, this happens in a lot of political segments also that, you know, they do that hologram and that QR code scanning, like you'll scan the QR code and like Sachin Tendulkar or Mahendra Singh Dhoni or a politician will pop up like right in front of you. So a lot of interesting such things that are going on right now. And of course, with Web3 and Metaverse coming into play, this is going to get more and more experiential as such. Yeah.
What I remember recently that Airtel did an event where they, you know, revived the 175 knock of Kapil Dev in via Metaverse. I don't know if I'm terming the thing right. Then there is an ID, like the food company from Bangalore, who in April they did something live where they launched that for 5 days from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They'll just live stream how they make their idli batter or the food that they are making. And anyone who is like, anyone can experience how we make food and they could get to know more of our product. So that became a kind of an experience that people, it became a trend that, okay, whatever I'm eating, how is the experience of making it, or how could I connect to it?
I think one more brand that I think we were talking about this is this coffee brand from Bangalore who's gate crashing different startup offices.
Yeah.
They're like going to any random offices and they're, you know, they're like serving their coffee. So I think there's a lot of innovation that's happening in the whole experiential marketing industry. It's not just today about you do this event or, you know, you do this, like, let's say booth or kiosk or whatever, or you go to other events and, you know, set up your, let's say, experience space. People are doing this via gifting, like somebody gifted me this t-shirt, so I mean, I know what brand it is, I associated with them and all of those things. So a lot of innovation is happening in this whole segment also now.
Yeah. And one more thing, event I read when I was researching about this, I read was for the Budweiser Beer Garage that happened at SXSW Festival in US or in that part, where they created a 4D experience for consumers to understand how the entire Budweiser beer is created. So the effect was so much that if they are in the 4D lens and they enter a boiler room, the entire hot air is gasped in front of them. When they enter, they could hear how the beer is being made. And at the end, the entire experience showcased that how that beer is being made and the user. And when read about the interview of the agency that did that, the brewing company that did that, was named Anheuser-Busch. I don't know if I'm pronouncing right, I'll write down here. The main objective they had in the part was that we want consumers to understand how a product is made, and we want the consumers to be feeling some certain things that only they could feel by using our product. And
I think even like when you this whole umbrella is really big of experiential marketing. Yeah. Something as simple as when you enter a mall, you know that they have like those fans and a fresh, like really some minty or like very perfume just like comes into as soon as you like enter the mall. But later in the mall, you will not find this. So they want you to associate that sense of smell and that experience when you enter the mall. I think this happens a lot in 5-star hotels also, or a Starbucks. So brands are being very innovative now with the kind of, you know, this experiential marketing or these small, small hacks that they bring up.
Yeah. So if we discuss the ID thing that the Dosa company did, the Budweiser thing that they did, or the company that you said about the Happy Street part, I would like to get few points from your end that what are the main elements that a B2C event should capture that, you know, that helps them in better conversion or a better experience.
So the very first thing is there is a very thin line between brand recall and being salesy. Like, you cannot just be on the face and, you know, put up like big banners and logos or like standees of, you know, what your brand is. You have to find a subtle way of, you know, putting that very inherent in the event or in the experience that you're creating. So that thin line is something that every event marketer or, you know, agency or whatever the brand has to maintain. So that's one thing. Second thing is, if any experience that you are creating or an event that you are sponsoring or whatever you are doing, is your brand into this industry or not? Like, for example, Pepper as a brand, I don't think so we would ever go into events like what Red Bull does, right? Like, they do F1 or whatever, skydiving and all
events
those
related to adrenaline.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be like a like go-to thing. But anything that might be of beneficial, you know, let's say insightful for creators, we might think about that. Or if, let's say, it's for marketing teams or something of that sort, we might be interested to go over there, but not what like Red Bull does. So understanding the what's for you and what's not for you is also like really, really important. And at the same time, the third important thing would be if you are creating an experience for, let's say, B2C or whatever, it's really important that people should be able to take away something with them. Now, takeaway could be like an experience. Takeaway could be like a t-shirt or whatever, a gift bag, whatever that might be. Or it could be a brilliant talk or insight that they might have learned at a workshop or a masterclass. So the audience has to take away something with them so that it stays with them and like they remember that event and that experience and inherently then that brand. So I think these are some like really important things.
What I will also add from the reading that I did for this specific episode was the feeling part that I said, that I curated, correlated with Budweiser part, that the company should make the event experience, like event audience feel the way they want, like they want them to feel when they, you know, use that product. And that becomes a major part, that are they feeling the same thing in a way. And then you ended with a message point, that what message are they taking with. And I could relate that whenever I went through a fintech event, that like Grow visited few cities in terms of savings and everything. There are many virtual events that even Razorpay did in the festival and everything. And now there are certain jargons that comes to your head whenever you think about saving, like Jar does that, like everyday 10 rupee thing in saving. And even if they visit them, or, you know, even if they visit their office or meet any one of them, or just open an app experience, you could relate to the part that, okay, they are talking about saving money or they are talking about making money. Yeah, so that is about B2C. Now, moving on to the B2B part, we recently got done with our kind of a roadshow or a India tour of marketing mix of Pepper content, where we met best of people in different Mumbai, Bangalore and Delhi who works in the content industry. So you want to share about more on that line?
Yeah, I think it's always fun and like really like a great experience when you're building a new event IP, and especially which is offline and, you know, it's spread across the country. Of course, our eventual goal is also to, you know, maybe do this in London, Sydney, New York, San Francisco, everywhere else. But for us to, you know, start building this in a very limited time, in a very limited resource, is like very, very much like an exciting journey. People who are in the event space, you might know as to how it is to, you know, like just work on a new event IP altogether. But the idea behind Marketing Mixer was, and although this is the final name that came in, it was never like supposed to be called Marketing Mixer.
We'll discuss that in the next few questions.
But the aim for it was for us to, you know, just go out there and meet these people, build these relationships. Of course, the goal for any company is always like, you know, if you're spending X amount of money, you need to, you know, get in like an ROI of 10x, 5x. That's always there, and that's expected out of a marketing team or like events team. But the secondary goal for us was also to, you know, go out there and meet these content leaders, marketing leaders who are spread across these different cities. Because we always end up, you know, just like passively knowing each other. Like the CMO of Hotstar might have known Pepper Content, like passively just read about it or heard about it or known who the founders are. But through this event, we could actually like meet him, understand his insights about what does a big brand like Hotstar, like, you know, really think about content, how do they navigate that, and what processes do they follow? Same with somebody who came from Meta, or let's say founder of Jar, or in Delhi, somebody like Ashish Chopra, who's like the viral video marketing person. So I think the secondary goal always was to, you know, build these relationships and learn also from them, apart from, of course, making revenue and, you know, creating that brand awareness.
So in the context of Pepper, how did this event help us, help the brand or help us?
Yeah, I think the job of every events team, and, you know, let's say marketing team in general, could always be that. And let me answer this with context to Pepper. So it would always be either we should bring in more supply, or we should generate more demand. And there will always be a secondary goal of brand awareness. I think as a marketing team, you are never like not doing brand awareness for yourself. Anything, even if you put out a tweet, even if you like your founder puts out a LinkedIn post, it might have a CTA that, you know, we are hiring for this position, but it's always also brand awareness. So for us, this entire event IP was, you know, building those relationships, generating demand, and at the same time also, you know, positioning us as a brand that, you know, we are like the go-to, you know, SaaS product for all content needs. So that was the aim for us.
And when we were planning this with the leadership team or the people and responsible from the organization, what end goals or objectives did you set out for in your head or on the paper? And where are we right now as we ended all the three chapters?
So the aim for us was like to connect with at least 300, 500 companies and like decision makers of those brands. Of course, when it's offline event, some people get stuck in traffic or, you know, some things happen that they have to cancel and delay and all of those things. But again, as I said, that the goal is either demand generation and, you know, building those relationships. Sometimes, I met a lot of people that we as a brand would want to partner with. Like how in February we partnered with Class Plus to create a grant for creators. I know a lot of such exciting things will be coming up now in future for all our creators. So if any of our creators are watching this, and I hope you guys are watching this Pepper Spotlight Season 2, which Yogi is hosting, you're going to see some new exciting projects that will come their way.
Yeah. And I'm sure Marketing Mixer was not that one streamlined. Ideation was not that streamlined that, you know, you just thought about it and we started the event part. So how was the entire process? Like, what are the rejected ideas that went through the brainstorming phase?
I think it was really chaotic. Like, I would not, you know, polish this or, you know, sugarcoat this. When we were planning for this Marketing Mixer IP, we were also planning for our funding announcement. So the entire team was like literally working on two big things at the same time. But there were a lot of rejected ideas. Like at that point of time, we were thinking, you know, something as small as at which venue do you want to host this event, right? It's a really important decision. And for us, we wanted to, you know, not be like go to a bar or a pub or, you know, how other mixers happen. I'm not sure if I can name some brands here or not, but I think a lot of big companies host their mixers and events at really shady places and really not so like a Taj Lands End that we did in Bombay or Leela Palace that we did in Bangalore. So we were always going back and forth with some of those decisions, and it takes a lot of time and process to, you know, come to that finality about the smallest of things. Something as simple as what should be the color theme of this. We didn't want to be like the pepper primary colors to be positioning and resonating with this, because it's a different thing altogether. We want this experience to be a little fun as well as networking and, you know, sticking to the brand still. I can tell you some really funny incidents where, you know, like we didn't know what to put at this poster, what should go at this standee, because we were doing an offline event for the first time. And we are like an experts in virtual events and webinars, but doing offline first time was a little crazy, along with doing it at funding where we are uploading a video, like getting the funding announcement listed and, you know, promoted and published on Nasdaq Tower also. So it was really crazy. Some challenges and sleepless nights were there, but I think now that it's done and the IP is like finished for this quarter, like I'm like really happy with that.
Great. Now that we have talked about our entire B2B event we had, how do you differentiate, or, you know, how do you kind of term B2C event different from a B2B event, and like in this vice versa, like what are the major things that come in different that for a B2B and B2C company?
So I think B2B is much more sophisticated and it has to be much well planned and, you know, all of that, because you have few people. I don't see B2B events are very massy always. So either you're doing it for like a smaller audience, like 100, 200 or 500, let's say. But when you're doing a B2C, it's for 5,000, 10,000 or whatever the number of tickets that a Sunburn or any of these other like festivals like sell off. So I think when you have a smaller audience, you need to have that experience really well curated. And especially if it's a industry category where CMOs, CEOs and all of those people are coming, you need to have that class also in your event. Whereas when it's B2C, even if you keep it a little raw and rough, I think that's okay. It's people are not like really noticing ki are ye kaisa hai, ye
standee
kaisa hai.
Whatever goes to the brand.
Exactly. So I think that's like major difference. As events team, you obviously need a smaller team when you're doing B2B. When you're doing a B2C event with 10,000 people in the audience or whatever, you need at least 100 people, I feel. Whereas a B2B event can be done by 10 or 15. The more people you have, of course, it's better always. But it can still be managed by a small team of 10 people. So I think those with the scale, a lot of differences come in. If the goal changes, I think not a lot of B2B companies do ticket sales. Like, we don't believe in ticket sales. All our events that we do are like request and invite and, you know, very selective and exclusive in nature. But B2C is like anybody can, you know, if they have the money in their pocket, they can like just go ahead and buy that. So I think that's like really a difference between the B2B and B2C. Frankly speaking, because I've done a lot on B2C side, now I enjoy the B2B thing. It's less chaotic. It's manageable. I have a lot of control because I think as an events person or as a marketer, I like to have that control, which not always you get in the B2C segment.
Yeah. All right. We go to the last segment that I said, kind of a quick questions that should help any brand person or any marketing person listening to this, as in the, if they're like, you know, to start their first event as an experiment, or, you know, just get into the event field for the conversion part. Yeah.
This could be like coffee with Karan ka rapid fire.
We don't have a Jaguar light. We have SmartWorks light.
Whatever SmartWorks light, please like just get that started.
Yeah. So when should a brand try experiential marketing? Is it only for larger brands?
It's not for larger brands. I think, and there's no like such timeline that, you know, after 3 years or if they have raised Series A or Series B, whatever amount of money, that's when they should start. I think it depends a lot with, you know, the kind of industry that you are in. If you are in D2C space, you are selling coffee and all of that, and you see a lot of your competitors already having, let's say, like shops or, you know, coffee outlets where people can directly come in and, you know, sip coffee, and you don't have that, you'll have to try out, you know, to beat competition, do some experiments and try out new and new things. Whereas for a B2B sort of like a company, experiential marketing comes in when, you know, it's like an add-on. Like you have done some of the basics where, you know, you have done content related things, blogs, SEO, paid ads, PR, other marketing, let's say, initiatives and all those things. And now you want to take like a step ahead and move into that. So I think I see that. I would not see any brand doing experiential marketing first and then doing performance marketing, because it's really easier to do. I mean, like two people can, you know, take care of performance marketing, but as an event, you need a lot bigger team. So I think it varies industry to industry.
Yeah. And how much experience do you need in the event space to pull an event off in either of the field?
B2C, I like pulled my first event off with zero experience, right? Like this was back in college. So we were doing like a big like tech fest, and I was handling media and all of that. I've never spoken to journalists. I don't even know who are these people and all of that. So I think it you don't really need an experience, but to do it at massive scale and at a professional level.
Seek here is on the brand's part. Got it. Not in the part of college, the brand's part.
So I think you should have at least done some diverse and varied set of events, like 10, 15, even if you're doing in B2B space or in B2C space also, you should have done some 10, 15 experiments, at least smaller also it could be. You could have organized like a smaller meetup. That's also okay. So that you have some learnings that you can, you know, implement when you do it at a bigger scale. So I think even if it's 5 events that you have done, but you have had a lot of learning, it's good. But what happens sometimes is you be part of a bigger event team and you don't get to learn anything, right? You're playing a really small part where you're just taking care of, you know, getting that guest from hotel to the venue and then dropping that guest back. So I think that 5 experience, I'm not saying 5 first-hand experience where you organize a lot of things, you're managing, tracking what's, if everything is moving ahead or not. So if you have like 5 to 6 such experiences, that should be enough.
Yeah, I will also add, in terms of experience, just attend any event, start attending
of
events, understand what they do, how they do, and accordingly you will get an idea. And you can also always consult the organizers or the brand behind that event, and they should help you out. Yeah. If you want to know at us, you can also always contact Pavan anytime, right? One thing that is, you know, that will definitely go wrong when you plan an event.
I think it's always the tech things. Like you will know, you will put in 5 mics, but on the day of the event, 1 mic will not work, and some of those stupid things will happen because it's most of the times out of your control. You can find the best vendors, you'll find the best people out there, you'll find the best mics. But still, I think that will happen, that, you know, a lot of times some things like screw up. It could also be with respect to dimension of the like LED, the projector that you bring in, you're changing the PPT. And this has happened with us. And I can totally tell you there is no way you can completely avoid this. It's just really natural, some of these things to happen.
And when in B2B, I could say guests might say that they'll come, but just before 10 minutes, there'll be heavy rain or a bit traffic or not feeling well, reason on your message.
Yeah, and sometimes guests also tell you that, no, they cannot come. And then 1 hour before, they'll tell you that, oh, we are coming.
Yeah.
So then a lot of things become a little...
What kind of data can we understand after event is done? Like, how do you analyze success of it?
So let's take example of a virtual event. You see how many people registered for that event and how many people showed up for that event, how many people like stayed till the end. So there are some of these numbers, like you'll calculate what's the engagement ratio, what's the stick around like ratio for like the number of registrants and how many people actually stayed for the whole time. So for virtual events, there are different metrics. For of course, like offline events, you want to calculate and see in 3 months how much demand was generated, how many clients did you close, and some of those things. But I also feel, have people started to talk about you and your events? Like when we did Elevate, people really, you know, reached out to Anirudh and everybody else that, you know, we would want to speak to your events team and know how did you guys pull off this event with such a short duration, resources and all of that. So I think those things are also like a testimonial as to how your events performed and, you know, how it has done. So I think those are a few things.
And like last 2 questions, second last would be, how do you design content like when you are promoting an event? from a brand perspective, because in your normal day-to-day content campaigns, the content will be different. Yeah. But when you go towards an event that is, consider it a big event, like we did Elevator, any company did, like Razorpay does their event or anything, how do you like design content in that part?
So I think the very first thing starts from, you know, who is this event for? Why are we doing? And then eventually coming down to other answers, okay, if these are, this is why we are doing and for whom we are doing, then we figure out what's the name that resonates the most with them. Then what's the theme it could be, right? I mean, for Elevate, or let's say for a marketing mixer, we could have gone with any other color. But why did we go with this color only? It was because some of the people that we were inviting, the kind of colors that they would resonate with, and, you know, the font, how it is, what do we write in the welcome letter, and, you know, what's written on the gift bag. All of these things become really, really important. So I think you have to go in a step-by-step way to define, you know, what are the kind of people coming in and what's your goal. And I think that's how it falls then in reverse.
I feel design and copywriting still comes at the forefront of content design, like when we do it for event, because that defines everything. That tagline should resonate with everyone, and that design should just attract, even if when they're in a virtual medium or when they are at the physical part.
Yeah. And I think this is not now with respect to events only. Like, if you're shooting this podcast, the reason why we took like a season break, in season two, everybody's seeing like these new mics, and all that experience is also like really important, the way they will listen to this. So I think today, because people are literally living on the internet, spending most of the time on the internet, these things have become extremely significant and important and necessary, that, you know, you need to have like a top-notch design and whatever copy, and, you know, like no bullshit things with respect to your marketing collaterals also, because people have a lot of options these days. I mean, why would they come to our marketing mixer? They could just spend time at home doing Netflix, right? So I think, of course, that's like really, really critical and significant.
Yeah. And the last question would be, any pro tips for anyone who wants to start with events?
Oh God.
How could they, you know, have a cheat code to success?
No, just save some money for therapy, because being in events is like really, it makes you anxious, restless. It's really chaotic, unless and until you don't enjoy being in a confused and chaotic space and you don't thrive into that. It's really, really difficult. Unless you find a great team like us to work with. I'm going to do like a plug in here. And people who are interested in working in this experiential marketing and event space, we are hiring a few folks to work with us for Elevate, the biggest content marketing summit that's going to happen at the end of this year. So like, you can just check out in the description of this video or this episode, if you're listening on Spotify or other platforms, you can see what positions are we hiring for, and we'll be happy to bring you on board. It doesn't matter if you don't have experience. If you have an experience in events, it's really, really awesome. But if not, like, we are looking forward to, you know, seeing some applications from your guys.
That's great. So I'll just summarize what we went through. In terms of, we started with your experience with events, then we went into the B2C part, the B2B part, and then this quick rapid fire that should help few, like, the people interested in the event field to start off with. So I hope you had fun, Pawan.
It was great to, you know, just talk about it.
Yeah.
Seeing Kunal's smiling face, and thanks, Kunal, for being the spot man, giving us the coffee. But yeah, thanks, Yugi. You were a great host.
I'm learning.
And if you guys have any questions, please feel free to DM me anytime or the Pepper page. And if you're not listening to Pepper Spotlight already, please do that. We need all the support and help that you can do. And if you're looking to work with our team, just reach out to us.
Yeah, that's great. That should be a wrap. Thank you so much.